Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of High Energy Girl. And today's guest is the adorable Kathleen Trotter, who is a Canadian fitness expert, a media personality, personal trainer, writer, life coach, and overall health enthusiast. She is also the author of Finding Your Fit, A Compassionate Trainer's Guide to Making Fitness a Lifelong Habit, and Your Fittest Future Self, Making Choices Today for a Happier, Healthier, Fitter Future You. I had a great chat with Kathleen, and I can't wait for you to meet her. So let's go say hello. Hey everyone, welcome to High Energy Girl, a podcast helping women to age stronger because it is never too late to get fit, be strong, and feel sexy. I'm your host, Tracy Gluhige, health coach and personal trainer and founder of HighEnergyGirl.com. Each week, we will either have a guest interview, which will provide you encouragement or an actionable tip to help you age stronger, or I will do a solo episode. Please also join our awesome Facebook group called High Energy Girls, and I'm looking forward to see you on the inside of that group and hope you enjoy today's show. Give a woman a fish, feed her for a day. Teach a woman to fish, feed her for a lifetime. Teach a woman to teach a woman to fish, end world hunger. Have you ever wanted to help people improve their health journey? Have you thought about coaching people with a keto lifestyle? Would you like to become an integrative health coach? Well, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, or IIN as we call it, is the largest nutrition school in the country. And in 2011, I graduated from their program and became a health coach. It was completely awesome. We learned over 100 different dietary theories and talk about craziness and confusion. My wish for you is that we can lock arms and create a tribe of health coaches all around the country, all around the world to spread the keto message. If this resonates with you and you would like to look into this option deeper, please go to my blog at highenergygirl.com and click on the link to the right of the homepage. Here you can grab the curriculum guide and see if it inspires you. Since I care so much about my listeners, I negotiated the very best tuition rate for you at IIN. Either you can contact them directly and give them my name, or I will introduce you to a counselor so you can decide if this is a good fit for you and your career goals. Let me know how I can support you in this coaching career opportunity. Hey, Kathleen, okay. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime, anywhere I can talk about fitness and health, I'm all for it.
Oh, cool. Well, that sounds like me. So that's good. Hey, so for the listeners that don't yet know you, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a health and fitness enthusiast. So I'm a personal trainer, Pilates instructor, life coach, nutritionist. But really, I do this because fitness changed my life. Like, honest to God, I grew up the first half of my life. I was overweight. I'm about 6 feet tall. I felt like super awkward. I was taller than all the boys. I hated my body. I hated myself. I really, if I could have just disappeared, I would have. I would do anything to get out of gym class. I would cry. I would lie. I'd pretend to be sick. I snuck food. I had this whole thing with my mom where she knew exactly how long it took me to walk home from school. So I would like eat as I walked and then have mouthwash in my bag. Like, it was just like, it was amazing how, I'd structured my life in order to sort of sneak and be healthy. And then gradually, you know, I became the fitter version of me that I am now. So it's just, I feel so different and so empowered and energized because of health and wellness. And I want to inspire as many people to work out because they love themselves and because they respect themselves, not because they kind of hate themselves and want to be a different version of them. I want them to just be the best, you know, healthiest version of them that they can be.
So when did your light switch go on? How old were you?
So, you know, I like to tell my clients, I don't think it's one light switch. I think it's little baby steps, at least for it was for me, little wins that spiral into bigger wins. I think that too often we think it has to be this one overnight success change. Mm-hmm. And that puts a lot of pressure on us. And then when people don't have that overnight switch, they're like, oh, well, I might as well just quit. So what happened for me was my mom was a single mom. She was an actress, or she is an actress. And she's an amazing, amazing human being. And she just sort of said to me one day, she's like, listen, you're very good with adults. You're not good with people your own age. And you have to, right? No, it's true though. I was very awkward. And she said, and we have to get you exercising. And she's like, like, I get the fact that you don't love gym class. I get the fact that you don't like doing sports, but there has to be a solution. Her motto always was find solutions, not excuses. So she said, what about we get you a membership to the local YMCA? The demographic is sort of over 50 and under 5. She's like, and just go and walk on the treadmill. Like, she's like, you don't have to lift weights. You don't have to do anything crazy. Just do something. So I did. And I just started really small. Literally the first time I went to the gym, I walked for 10 minutes. I don't even think I stretched. I don't think I did any weights. Like, I just walked. And then that slowly spiraled into, I did some weights. I started taking aerobics classes, step classes, spinning classes, and just sort of, it was a slow evolution. And the woman who ran the Y said to me, she's like, you know, you should be teaching these classes. Like, you're taking so many aerobics classes. So I learned how to teach classes, and all the way through high school, I volunteered at the Y, and then slowly I decided to become an aerobics instructor. And then I decided to go to university for this. And then I did a master's in exercise science. And it just was a very slow evolution, but it was like, I became confident with 10 minutes, and then I did 20, and then, you know, and then 30. And it just slowly, I turned into a different person. Like, I started to identify as somebody who wanted to go to the gym and wanted to be healthy and active and knew I felt better when I moved. So now I really live by the motto, like, I'm only ever one workout away from a better mood. Like, the worse my mood, the more important it is to, like, get my ass doing something. Right? Like, this morning, I did not want to work out this morning. I can't even tell you how much I didn't. I was like, oh, I feel so lethargic and so down. And I was just like, Kathleen, you do something. And I did. And my motto also is 10 minute rule. So if I don't want to work out, I say, okay, you got to do something for 10 minutes. And normally if I start, because it's like that ignition energy to get going. So normally if I find that ignition energy, I do 10 minutes, and then the 10 minutes I will end up finishing my entire workout. But I figure if I only do 10, at least 10 is better than nothing. So anyway, I did a 30 minute Peloton and some yoga and some Pilates, and I felt like a million freaking bucks. And you know, it's just, it's so important to just sort of say to yourself, like, get over yourself, blah, 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 go work out, do something. Your body will thank you.
Yeah. It's just that first bit. Like, for me, I work out at the Y, I teach at the Y.
We're like, you work out at the Y. Oh my God. I didn't know that. We're twins. That's amazing. We're like sisters from a different country.
Yeah. It's a great place. I mean, it's wonderful. And I've taught everything from Zumba to boot camp to Pilates yoga. I teach almost every format. But how old were you when you first went?
I think I was 16 when I first started going to the gym. So I was, you know, I was old enough to know that I had to do this for my future self, but young enough to still be kind of shy. But I don't know. It was the best first step that I ever took. And, you know, I love that idea that you don't become a millionaire with the first coin, but that last coin that makes you a millionaire, you know, like, you're like, oh yeah, that's what did it. But that coin wouldn't have mattered without the coins that are before, you know, right? So it's all about the first little baby steps, and then you get going, and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm feeling really good. And I think a lot of it's just about learning that your brain will play tricks on you, right? Like, your brain will say, like, no, you shouldn't work out, or yeah, you want that cookie. And a lot of it's just having the data to know that, you know, what your brain tells you, like, you have to have the ability to be aware of those thoughts and sort of step away from them and be like, nope, that's just not true. Like, my future self will not be happy if I have that cookie. My future self will not be happy if I sit and watch Netflix. Like, I need to work out, and then I can enjoy my Netflix feeling like really great that I did a kick-ass workout. But it takes a lot of practice. It takes practice and data. Like, everything is data to teach yourself what will actually make yourself feel good, you know? And when you've never worked out before, you don't have that data. You don't know that you'll feel better if you move. You think you just want to stay doing nothing, right? So the first little while is teaching your brain and teaching your body what will feel better. I think a lot of it, I credit a lot of it to my therapist, to be honest. So she made me keep this journal for 2 weeks. And this was maybe in my early 20s. So I was like exercising, but I don't think I'd really grasped how it was going to be my lifestyle. Like, I think exercise for me too much was still about how I looked versus how I felt. Mm-hmm. And so she said to me, keep a journal for 2 weeks and you note your mood pre-exercise and post-exercise on a scale of 1 to 10. And what I found was, for 2 weeks, every time I exercised, I always had a higher mood score after the workout. And that I now use that as data. Like I will literally say to myself, no, you can look in the journal and the science shows that you'll feel better. And knowing that it has something to do with my mood and my headspace, not just my body, for some reason, that's really useful because I've fought depression my entire life. So it's not quite enough for me to be like, oh, you'll look better. It has to be that you'll feel better too.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And it just, I mean, scientifically, all the endorphins that get kicked in, it's just like I always say, I never regret getting up because I get up early. Normally I go up, yeah. I get up at 4 to 5.
And wow, yeah.
We work out from 5:15 to 6:15 or 6:30, depending. Mm-hmm. But I never regret getting up, but I will regret sleeping in every time.
Totally. Absolutely. Yes, totally. And that's where you have to learn to sort of train yourself to know in the moment. Like if you have decided tomorrow morning, I'm going to work out, you're deciding that with a very rational headspace. And then in the morning, when you wake up and you want to sleep in, you're making that decision with more of an emotional headspace. So it's there you go back to that ability to sort of step back and say like, no, when I was looking at my life choices with a rational brain, I knew that this would be what would make me feel better. So you have to follow through in the moment. It's called present bias. It's a cognitive distortion, which it's the brain, a belief that how you feel in this moment is how you're always going to feel. So it can work both ways. So if you are feeling really, really motivated, like on Saturday, you're like, on Monday, I'm going to feel motivated, right? And I'll work out on Monday. But then and you believe that just because you feel motivated in that moment on Monday, you'll feel motivated, right? And then you wake up Monday morning and you're like, oh, I don't actually feel motivated. I wanted to sleep. So that's why in moments of motivation, you have to say, I'm not always going to feel this way. What systems can I create? So Monday morning when I wake up and I don't want to work out, right? Do I have a fitness buddy ready? Do I have my gym clothes let out and, you know, already? Like those are systems that you can create in your motivated state because you know that you're not always going to be motivated. And then it goes the opposite as well, whereas like you feel like I'm really tired now, I'm always going to feel tired. And you have to be able to step back and say, okay, you might feel tired now, but your future self can feel differently. Like these, they're all just emotions and they come and they go. So just because you feel lethargic now doesn't mean you'll feel lethargic in an hour. If you do a workout, you will feel better. And just because you feel motivated on New Year's Eve doesn't mean that, you know, January 1st or February 1st, you'll still be motivated. So that's why those systems of accountability that make sure you stick to your plan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good say. That's a good way to say it. I've never heard it put that way.
Yeah. Do you have a system that works for you? I mean, it sounds like you have a set schedule, which is a really key system, right? Mm-hmm. So if you put it in your schedule, it's like a big rock that everything else flows around. Whereas if it's not in your schedule, it's like, oh, I didn't get to do it today. Like it's not an intention that you've set, so it doesn't happen. But do you have other systems? I'm curious.
Yeah, I really perform best on rituals and habit stacking is what I call it. So like every morning I get up, I drink a glass of water, I pour my coffee, I go to the gym. We have our set-ish routine, you know, like heavy upper body, heavy lower body, you know, like light upper body. We have our little routines that we do. So I find that I work best when I know what's coming up next. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that works for me. And
I think that routines are so key. And you said habit stacking. Sorry, I interrupted you, but it got me really excited. I think that people who don't want to work out, one of the things I love to tell them to do is stack something that you like doing with something that you know you need to do. So if you love walking your dog, stack that, like marry it with doing some interval training so you're out on the dog walk anyway, right? Or if you love watching a television show, marry that, like habit stack it with doing some squats and some lunges. So if you know that you're really unmotivated and you're listening to this, it's like, okay, so pick a couple things that you do like to do. Like, do you like to dance? Right? So you love music. So then use that as your exercise and sort of marry it together or stack it and say, you don't get your coffee until you've done your squats, or you don't get like something that you do like to do. You don't get to do it until you've done something else.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way, like a reward. Like you get to do this after.
Exactly.
And I always say to do it first thing in the morning before life excuses get in the way.
Yeah.
You know, like traditionally, are you guys on lockdown right now? I mean, we are literally like our gym, everything's closed.
Yeah. I think we're less on lockdown than you, but like definitely gyms are closed. It's pretty isolated. It's it's even more important now, though, to try to find semblances of normalcy. Like, that's what I've been saying to my clients. Like, not only is exercise good for your body and your brain and your mood, but it also gives you something you can feel that you have control over. And I think in this crazy world, we have control over so little. But if you do your workout, and especially if you do it in the morning, like you're saying, then it's like, okay, it's done. And now I feel like I've done something that I can control, and I have a little bit more power for the rest of the, for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that's really important. And I like to get it out of the way before, you know, like before I go to the gym, no email, no Facebook, nothing. Just go. One time I made the mistake, I'll never forget, when I used to have a full-time job, one of my doctors emailed me, and in the morning I read her email, and it stressed me out that it totally ruined my whole workout.
Totally. I know exactly what you mean. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it speaks to just intentionality in life. Like, you have to figure out what your key boulders are in your schedule, and what are the things that are going to set you up for success for the rest of the day. And for me, a workout and water and coffee, all of those things do. And life is so, if you let it, you can be so reactive, right? It's like, oh, this email and that and that. And then you don't do your workout, or you don't have your water or whatever. So I think knowing what your like linchpin habits are for the day, like what's going to set you up for success is really key. And then doing them with intention and blocking out the rest of the noise of the day, at least for that moment. I think it's so key. I think you're so smart. Yeah, you got to just do it.
So what does your fitness routine look like? I know that it's probably different now than it was, but what do you like to do?
Well, I am extremely grateful because it's not that different right now, because I have a gym in my house. Like, my studio and where I live are connected. So I still have, you know, I have my Peloton, I have my treadmill, I can go running outside. My favorite Pilates studio is actually doing online free like streaming classes. Mm. So I'm very, very grateful. My job has changed a lot because I'm doing most of my sessions with my clients over Zoom. So that, my day has changed a lot. But we're just trying to find fitness solutions, let me tell you. But otherwise, my schedule, it really depends on my stage of life. It's one of the things I try to tell my clients, is that the most important thing is that you're doing something, but it can evolve. You know, it'll be different in your 20s versus your 30s versus your 40s, or if you're really busy at work. As long as you're doing something, that's what's key. It can sort of change. So in my 20s, I was really into, I did Ironmans, I did marathons. I was really the endurance girl, endurance woman. Earlier in my 20s and late teens, I was more into fitness classes, as I said, at the Y, spinning, that kind of stuff. And when I opened my studio, it had to change because it's all like a value judgment. Like, you only have 24 hours in a day. You can't do everything. So Ironmans just took too much time and too much money. And so now I do sort of shorter distance duathlons, running, biking. I don't swim anymore because I don't like getting myself to a pool. Lots of Pilates, strength training. I really believe in keeping your body strong, especially if you're somebody who wants to run or do sports, because otherwise you get injured. But mainly it's a mood thing for me now. Like, I just know that I'm a less happy version of Kathleen if I don't move my body.
Yeah, totally. So at home, I have a TRX. Do you guys have those there?
Yes. I love the TRX. They're fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice. It's, you know, people are trying to create a home gym, it's a fabulous way that it's like not super expensive, and you can do a lot of things that, you know, like rows and push-ups and, you know, put your feet in the straps and do pike ups, and there's so many different variations that then you don't get bored if you're at home, and you can just attach it into a door frame.
Yeah. It's a great device for, like, I have all my clients I work with that don't belong to a gym. I mean, even before all this, I have them do a TRX workout, and me, I'm at the gym, I'm normally using, you know, barbells, dumbbells, cables, mm-hmm. but now I'm doing that for the last, I guess we've been home for a little over a week, and, I'm sore.
Yeah.
You know, just mixing it up.
Yeah. I think that speaks to just the importance of variety, though, right? Like, if you're used to doing one type of workout, what a wonderful opportunity this is to do a different type. Like, you know, the thing about all this is, like, yes, this is absolutely terrible, and I would never argue that it's not. But, you know, I like to say to myself, you're at every moment in life, you're at a crossroads, right? And to the left, either way, the obstacle exists. Like either way, this pandemic is here. And to the left, you can lean into feeling upset about it. You can eat really badly. You can stop your workouts. You can just wallow in the pandemic and all of the shit that's going on. Or to the right is this, yeah, the pandemic is there, but you can make the choices that are going to make you proud in the future. Like, how is my future self going to want me to act? You can honor your emotions and you can use it as an opportunity to find different ways to work out, get yourself a TRX. If you don't want to spend money on a TRX, you can do resistance bands, attach them into door frames, right? Resistance bands like $10, a door frame attachment's like $6. Yeah. You can do like wood chops, you can do rotations, you can do biceps, you can do triceps. If your weak link is your core, like spend the next couple weeks like doing a ton of core work. Yeah. The situation is the situation, and we can only control our response, like our emotions and how we act. And I'm all about using this moment to the best that you can, because this is the only moment we have control over, right? Like, we can't control the future unless we control this moment.
Yep, that is absolutely true. And it's funny because there's a story I read in a book a long time ago about your reaction is everything. So there's two people, they're sitting in a car and it's like bumper to bumper traffic. They're totally gridlocked. It's just a mess. And the reporter goes and interviews this one guy and he's like, how are you doing, sir? He goes, oh, this is awful. I'm late for my meeting and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, just went off. And then he goes to this other woman and he's like, how are you doing, ma'am? And she's like, oh, great. I'm sitting here listening to my audiobook, drinking my tea.
Oh, I love that story. That's amazing.
I know, right? Same traffic jam, same situation, different response to it.
And it would be different if that anger response actually did any good. Like if that guy sitting in traffic getting angry, if it made the traffic magically open up and he could get to work, right? Like then you're like, oh, okay, well, that would be different. But the problem is that the only one who's damaged with those reactions are yourself. Like you're not going to make the world a better place by getting irrationally angry. You're not going to make the world, you know, the pandemic go away by eating a bunch of chocolate and not working out for a month, right? You're only going to damage yourself. And it also just sucks to feel that internal frustration and anger, right? Whereas it feels good to dance around your living room or, you know, FaceTime with a friend and do a workout over FaceTime. Or, you know, I've been doing these great Zoom sessions where there's like a mom and like her two daughters and they're all in separate spaces. So the mom will be in one home and then one of her daughters will like live in Chicago and the other one will live like up north in Ontario. And we're all Zooming together, all doing a family workout. So like, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it's different and it gets everybody connecting and connection's important.
Yeah, for sure. I have a group of friends we're doing tonight. We always get together once a month for wine. And, and tonight we're just doing a Zoom call. We're all going to be in our own homes and just be able to chit chat with each other like we normally
do. So lovely. And it's important, right? Like exercise is important, but community is important too. Like anything that you can do to feel, I don't know, as normal as possible and as happy and as centered, because ultimately those feelings will then help you make better choices around everything else. It'll help you be a better parent, a better wife, a better husband. Like all of our emotions are, you know, we're all running our emotions are all very close to the surface. And, you know, if you yell at your husband or yell at your wife or yell at your kids, like that's never a good situation. But if you can exercise, if you can connect with friends, like it's going to make you, you know, just a calmer version of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Calmness is a superpower. Calmness is like the superpower I'm trying to have. I want it so desperately. I'm not always calm. I get very like anxious and I just repeat to myself over and over again, Kathleen, calmness is a superpower. Calmness is a superpower. Breathe, breathe, breathe.
Oh, that's funny. So did I read, you wrote a book.
Yes, I have two books. Finding Your Fit is the first one. And then Your Fittest Future Self is the second one.
Okay, tell us about them.
Well, I'll tell you that my mom desperately wants grandchildren and I keep joking with her that she doesn't have grandchildren, but she has two books. Well, no, because like it's so hard to do it's like impossible to do everything in life, right? You can sort of do anything and everything. And I feel like I put all of my heart and soul into these books. Anyway, so the first one, Finding Your Fit, is really based on the premise that it's about thriving in your own lane. And it's that there's no one version of fit, but it's about understanding who you are and what you can make yourself do consistently. So there's four fitness personalities in the book. There's the home bunny, the gym bunny, the competitive bunny, and the busy multitasker. And fitness is a non-negotiable, but how you do that fit is up to you. So if you want to work out at home, that's great. If you want to work out at a gym, that's the gym bunny. If you want to be a competitive bunny and join a sports team, that's great. But it's thriving in your lane. Like my dad plays hockey 4 days a week. My mom gardens, like both great things. She walks the dog. She does yoga. If I told my mom she had to do spin, you know, 5 days a week, she would look at me and be like, I'd rather be fat than do spin. Like she just hate. No. Okay. Let me tell you a funny story. This is a side note, but it's so funny. I made her do one of my spin classes once when I was a kid. She got off the bike. She looked at me. She was like grit, like white. She looked like she was going to vomit all over me. She goes, Kathleen, I love you more than anything else. But if you ever try to make me do that again, I will disown you. And she was serious. So like, that's not her fit and that's okay. Yeah. But as long as she's moving, right? So that's the first book. And really just with this idea that you just have to start, like you can start being a home bunny. And then when you feel comfortable, maybe you become a gym bunny. But if you don't start, you have nowhere, like you can tweak the program as you go, but you have to start somewhere.
So what's the fourth one?
Oh, yes. Good catch. The fourth one is the busy multitasker. So that's the person who, you know, maybe gets off the subway a couple stops early and walks into work or takes conference calls and gets their steps or does, you know, 10 squats every time they sit down in a chair. Or maybe they take their kids to soccer practice and on the side of the practice, they're doing squats and lunges versus sitting on their phone. And that can be a category on it in and itself, but it can also be like, if you're really busy at work 1 week, you can just decide like, you know what, this week I'm going to be a busy multitasker or this day, right? Like, or let's say you were supposed to go to the gym after work and you didn't manage to, cause a meeting gets called. So then you can say, okay, so today I'll be a busy multitasker. And when I'm taking care of my kids at home and they're doing some games, I will do some squats and lunges as I sort of like watch over them a little bit, you know? So it's like you think it's a non-negotiable to be active, but I will just create a different way to be active today or this week or this month. So they're all very fluid. You don't have to be one or the other. You could be a home bunny 3 days a week and a gym bunny twice a week. But you have to honor who you are and you have to thrive in your lane and you have to be consistent. You have a quote on your social media that I love. It says, success doesn't come from what you do occasionally. It comes from what you do consistently. And I think that's so critical. It doesn't matter the best workout that, you know, that like your favorite celebrity does, if you'll only do the best workout once every 6 months, right? So forget about the best, like the benefits of anything are moot if you can't do it or won't do it, or you get injured doing it, right? So do you, be you, but just embrace that you got to move.
I believe in that.
I know you do.
What about the second book?
The second book is called Your Fittest Future Self. And it's the concept of it actually came from my best friend, Emily. It's about embracing that now is the only moment you have true control over. And that it's about creating the mix that works for you. So the book number two is different because it has a lot of mindset work in it and it has nutrition. So there's three kind of mixes, the workout mix, the nutrition mix, and the mindset mix. And the concept being is that there's pros and cons to every diet, every workout program. And the trick is to pinpoint the pros that work for you and then curate a mix that works for you, right? Mm. So, and it's with mindset as well. And so it's getting away from that one size fits all. And it's understanding that you know the most about who you are, about your exercise history, about your injuries, about the things that you will consistently stick to. And you just have to find what works for you and create the mix. So I go through all very detailed, all the pros and cons of different things. You can be a very intelligent mix maker.
I like that. That's a really good one. What about rest?
Well, that would be definitely part. Oh, I like that. You had a great smile when you asked about that. I think that for a lot of athletes, we don't, or not even athletes, just people who like to work out, we often think that rest is for the weak, but rest is so critical. And that would be part of the mix, the workout mix for sure. And you could even say like Sunday is your rest day from workout, but it's your day where you do food prep, right? Because there's no point. You know, you can't just exercise your way fit. Like you have to eat well as well, right? So rest is key because exercise is a a stress on the body. It's a positive stress on the body, but only if you give yourself the tools it needs to recover. So sleep, eating well, drinking lots of water, staying hydrated. You've been drinking water through this whole session. It's making me wish I brought my water bottle. And, you know, some things that are parasympathetic. So some yoga, some meditation. So that just, especially in this, if you're really stressed, which I think right now we all are, bringing your stress levels down with some breathing, some meditation, some yoga, some parasympathetic exercises is really key. And making sure you're sleeping, because your body doesn't work if you don't sleep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's like my favorite thing. And right now, people have a better excuse to sleep more. So I think that's important for them to take advantage. And, you know, somebody said to me, there was an article that said that in Venice, Italy, the dolphins have returned for the first time in 60 years.
Wow.
Because there's not the pollution. And yeah, so they now are happy there. And it's almost like this is like a little reset Mother Earth thing, you know, like. Yeah.
I've heard a number of people say that. Yeah. And we all need, like, we're just all like iPhones. We need to be turned off and on, you know? What's that phrase? Like,
That's
no, but it's true. Like, what's the thing is, like, if anything's gone wrong technologically, you kind of have to turn your computer or your phone off and reset it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a reboot. And I think that we all need, including the Earth, we all need a reboot. And I think that we don't value that. Like, we're such a go, 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 go society. But, like, sleep and rest is so critical. It's a non-negotiable. Like, think about what happens. Your brain, it's like a car wash for your brain. So all of the proteins that have built up, the waste is built up, that gets swept away, right? And your brain gets replenished. Your hormones all rebalance when you sleep. Your tissues repair. Your ghrelin and your leptin hormones for your food regenerate. So, or like rebalance is a better way to put it. So you're less likely to crave sugar. You're more likely to be satisfied and say no to food. Like, it's not a when I have time, it's a must. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. We have the opportunity now to lean into some sleep. So why not?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Have you seen the Oura Ring? Have you seen an Oura ring before?
Tell me about it.
Well, all of the people who I like read, like, I don't know. Do you know Dave Asprey? You've got to know Dave Asprey, Bulletproof Radio.
Okay. I don't think I do, but I will write it down and I'm going to look him up.
Well, he's a big Bulletproof guy, Bulletproof Coffee, Bulletproof this. And anyways, I just read his anti-aging book and because I'm 54. And so my whole focus is on aging well. And anyways, he said the Oura Ring is the best device he's seen out there as far as like to make sure that you're ready. Because at my age, like I need to make sure I don't overtrain. And so the Oura Ring will tell you based on your heart rate variability, your resting heart rate, your sleep zones, meaning like your deep sleep, your REM sleep. But it analyzes everything. And then it tells you if you're ready to work out or not. And if you're not, like if I go to the gym and it's a heavy day planned and my Oura Ring says not to, then I will just kind of just do something easier.
I love that. I think that data can be really critical, especially for certain people. So I have a couple of clients. I don't know if they've been using Oura Rings, but they've been using a data collection because they've known that they needed to stop drinking as much alcohol at night, but they weren't really ready. And then what they did was a trial, sort of like what my therapist got me to do with mood and exercise to give me data. And they did this trial where they kept track of how well they slept when they had alcohol before bed and when they didn't. And as you said, like not just how many hours, but the deep sleep that they got. And what they saw was it was directly correlated that on nights they had a glass of wine, they slept less well. Now, that's not saying that they will never have wine again, but these three clients I'm thinking about in particular, all three of them are drinking less because they can say to themselves, I want to be a high performer tomorrow. And is it worth it on this night? Like, is this the night to have my wine? And then instead they might have their wine on Saturdays when they're okay resting a little bit more on Sundays. So it's not about not doing those things like wine or chocolate, but it's about choosing like when it's worth it and when it's not, and that trade-offs. And the data can be so useful for that. And then you can know like when is it safe to do a harder workout? When is it better to do some, you know, Pilates, meditation, yoga? And it's with food too, right? Like I believe in living our lives and I believe in having treats and things that I love, but it's like, when is it worth it to do it and when is it not? And when will it cause my future self to be frustrated? And when will I say like, yeah, damn, that was good. You know, like that chocolate was totally worth it. And it was a night with my partner and I wasn't mindlessly eating it and I was enjoying it. And so it's all about intention and being aware.
Mindful. I like that. I love the word mindful. And I mean, I believe that there's ways that you can have that same flavor and that same quote unquote treat without derailing your progress, you know?
Yeah.
Like I just made a recipe that was so good, made with cacao butter, cacao butter, cacao powder, coconut oil. Can't remember.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All these mini like little lava cakes and you put them in a cupcake pan and they were like the bomb and they were super clean with monk fruit and egg and baking powder, I think. But they were amazing. And so for that, you're not derailing, you know, it's all good stuff. Superfoods.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I think it's, but what I love about what you said is that again, you have the awareness. So you were aware enough to know what you were putting in your food. You're aware enough to know what you're eating. So many of us with food and exercise, like it's just that we're not aware. We mindlessly eat things and we think we're making more healthy choices than we are. And we think we're making fewer unhealthy choices. And that's the trick with journaling. Like, you know, if you write it down for a week or two, most of the often people are like, oh, I thought I was doing X as a treat, but I'm actually doing it once a day. Or I thought I was eating one portion of something and I'm actually eating three. Mm-hmm. And once you know what your habits are, then you can say, okay, interesting. I always crave something a little bit tasty on Friday night. So I'm going to make these really clean lava cakes. So I have that to look forward to on Friday. Or like, I always know I want a date night on Saturday. So I know I want a date night. Let's make it really healthy date night, right? Like it's like, but you have to know, the phrase is with awareness brings choice. Like you can't create different, healthier habits until you know what you're currently doing.
That's
you can't make
one.
Those beautiful lava cakes until you know that you sort of want a lava cake one night, right? Like you have to you have to know yourself. You have to know your triggers. And you have to know which are the foods that are going to derail you. Like everybody's very different. Like, what's a great example? Like I can have my partner, he loves way junkier food than me. And like, you know, there can be strawberry ice cream in the fridge and there's no way I would eat that. I just don't like food. Thanks. So our rule is that he's allowed any, he's agreed with me that he will bring in things to the house that I don't love. So anything fruit flavored, I don't like, cherry ice cream, any of that crap I hate. he can bring in Dorito chips, I won't eat. But if he brings in chocolate peanut butter ice cream, oh my God, do I want that? And that is a trigger food for me. I will eat the entire tub. So he just has agreed he will not bring in that in the house. And if I want that, we can like either make a healthier version or I can go out to like a place. So it's out of my home. So I just have a small amount. Like, but that's because I know from years that like, that is just not, that is a no-go food for me.
Yeah. So do you guys have the brand So Delicious in Canada? It's coconut milk products.
Oh, I think so. Yes. I think I've seen that in the health food store. Should I try it? Is it amazing?
Okay. I'm going to give you a tip. So chocolate.
Okay, I'm excited.
They have one with no sugar added. So it's chocolate So Delicious ice cream, no sugar added. So the macros are on point. They're really good. It's really delicious. I just use a little teacup and put that in there. And then you take like an all natural peanut butter and put it in there and mix it all up.
So that sounds amazing. I actually think I don't think I can do that though. Like, I don't think you quite understand that like there are some, I mean, there are some foods that are just like red foods. And even though like red isn't stop, that sounds like it's a very healthy version. But you know, the problem with what I would do is I would buy the container. I would eat the entire container at one sitting. And I would also eat probably half a tin of peanut butter all at one sitting. No, like you laugh, but like, there are just things that I know from years of experience that, but what I might do with that is I might buy one of those tubs and leave it at my mom's home. Because what I've found in the past is things that I really love, because I have what I call my love it rule, which is like, choose the things that you really love. So I don't indulge in crap that I don't love. The things that I really love, I'm allowed small portions of in, you know, moderation. Mm-hmm. I have to savor it. So those things, what I tend to do is I get my mom to have them, because if I go over to see her, I'm not going to have an entire ice cream in front of my mom. Like that would just embarrass me, right? Like I'm just not going to do that.
You're so cute.
We would just sit and like eat a little bit of it and we would both enjoy it. And then I would just go home, versus if it's in my fridge, I would eat it all.
No, I know exactly what you mean. My mother-in-law bakes all the time. And like whenever she comes over for dinner, she's always baking this stuff. And I am very strict gluten-free. And I am mostly like cow's milk dairy-free. Like I'll do sheep and goat, but not cow. And one time, like normally I like to have my ice cream here so that when they're all having dessert, I have like a little teacup of ice cream. But one day I broke down and I ate carrot cake. And I was so sick.
Yeah, your future self was not happy.
So it's just not worth it. You know what I mean? Because that feeling's not so.
Yeah, no, it's just not worth it. And I've just learned over the years, like, I try not to have, like, do any of that shame spiraling where you make a sort of less than ideal choice. And then you just so go down the rabbit hole of like, well, I've already done that. So then I might as well make this other choice. And you feel so crappy about yourself. Mm-hmm. And instead I just try to look at everything as a growth mindset. It's that Carol Dweck's idea of, you know, growth mindset of everything is data. So it's like, I have learned with many instances of data that like, I can't have chocolate ice cream in the house. And I don't get, I try not to get mad at myself when I do those things. I'm just like, okay, this is a real growth opportunity. No matter how evolved you think you are, Kathleen, you're not that evolved. Maybe in 20 years you will be, but like right now you cannot handle. So don't give yourself the temptation. Like, just don't do it. Like, why make yourself crazy?
So what foods do you enjoy? What are some of your regular go-tos that you like?
Oh, these are good questions. I love any vegetable. I love Brussels sprouts. I actually sometimes think I'm going to turn into a Brussels sprout. I love spiralized like beets and zucchini. I love little egg, I call them like egg muffins. So I make like vegetables and egg in like a muffin tin. And then I'll put that with like avocado. I love avocado, olive oil. I love like salads with beautiful salad dressings. I love fishes. I don't know. I don't even know. I'm not, you sound like much more of a cooker than me. Like, so James always teases me that I'm an assembler. I'm not a cook. So I'm sort of like, here's my protein, here's my healthy fat, here's my vegetable. And I'm less, I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time in the kitchen. I have a lot of foods like cut up and then I like prepare salads and stuff.
Oh, I'm a big salad freak. I eat salad all the time. So much so that I have a canker sore because it's cold and I've been eating too much salad. And Chinese medicine says that you're supposed to eat warming foods.
Right.
So, but I just had like my lunch today was sardines because I didn't have
to cook. I love sardines. Sardines are great because you can carry them in your like in your bag and no matter where you go, there's this wonderful healthy snack of protein and fat. They're amazing.
Yeah.
I love sardines. Yes.
So I mix them like I do tuna, like sometimes. Sometimes I just eat them with a fork, but sometimes I mix them. So I made like, have you ever had Primal Kitchen Chipotle mayo?
No. Girl. You're like giving me all these wonderful things.
It is so good. It's chipotle mayo, so it tastes great on tuna, sardines, burgers, whatever you would put mayo on. But it's made with avocado oil, and it's got a little heat to it. So, but I'll do tuna or sardines, either one. Mix it up, make a big salad with like pumpkin seeds, arugula. I'm trying to think.
That sounds amazing.
Broccoli sprouts, just things that are like superfoods that you can just make a quick salad with. So.
I think that's so good.
Not a cooker. No way.
You're not? Okay. You sounded more like much more adventurous than me. James is the cook in our family. Unfortunately, he doesn't love cooking uber healthy stuff. So it depends on what he's cooking, what I can have. But he does make me these turkey meatballs that I love. And he makes me this big ratatouille that's filled with like all these veggies that I also love. So it depends on the mood. But then he also makes lots of things that I don't eat so much of. So but yeah, he's living his best life in lockdown, I think, because he gets to spend 24 hours a day cooking, spending time with the dog and working. Like, so he's obviously working from home, but I think he's the only person I know that is actually thrilled with being home because he loves cooking and being with his dog.
Aw, do you guys live together?
So we have a very unique situation. We've been together for almost 20 years since high school. Sort of on and off for about 20 years, but he's definitely, we call each other our lobsters because we will be together for life. But a couple years ago we broke up, and when we were broken up, I bought this place that has a studio in it. So it's not really conducive for both of us to live in. So because he's a very, very loving human being, he actually got a place like three doors south of me. So we call it the compound because we're actually on the same block. So I can walk to his house in like a minute and a half. So his place is more of our like home. And then my place is my studio. So it works really, really well. And it's, yeah, anyway, we do That's the best. Cool. Like we're sort of a unique couple, but he's a very, very cute man. He's a very good human. But so that's what I mean by with his dog. Like it's my dog too, but it's mostly she's at his house with him. And then so I see, like, also her name is Olive. I will see her tonight after this podcast.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. So are you, yeah. Okay, so please forgive me. I suck at geography. Are you East Coast?
So I'm Eastern Standard Time. I'm not quite all the way over to the East Coast. We're sort of like, if you just go to New York and drive north.
Okay.
So Toronto is, yeah, I'm bad at geography too, so don't even worry. But yeah, we're sort of close to Chicago, close to New York, but mostly just north of New York. It's like an hour, 45 minutes to an hour flight south to New York from us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, so yeah. Cold winters, lots of running in the snow, lots of cross country skiing. I don't know. I was going to say it's a fun place to be. I think it's fun if you really like snowboarding and skiing, which I don't love. So I don't know. I'd love a little bit more California weather, to be honest. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It's been weird this year. The weather's been like, we had 80 degree days like a month ago, and now it's like 50s. So
yeah, it's strange. We've had some strange days too. Like we've had some really cold days and then some warmer stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It's all just crazy. But I love Canada, let me tell you. But definitely January, February here, when it's so cold that you don't even want to go outside, let alone like go for a run, that's when I would just take like 10 degrees warmer.
Yeah.
But anyway,
so
I'm lucky.
What is next for you?
Oh, good question. So I just launched a group coaching program a couple months ago that I'm really loving. It's 5 weeks. It's on Zoom and it's small group coaching. So the most people I take is about 10. And it's not active. Like we're not doing fitness things as on Zoom. It's about goal setting. So it's sort of what we've talked about this whole session. It's how do you create systems that set your future self up for success? Because most of us make fitness wishes. We don't make fitness goals. We're like, oh yeah, I'm going to get fit or I'm going to eat well. But until you take the time to figure out the WWWH of it, like when are you going to do it? What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? When, like all of those details and put it in your schedule, it's not going to happen. So the coaching is everybody has different goals. Like some people will be focusing on sleep. Some people will be focusing on food. Some people will focus on exercise. And throughout the 5 weeks, we just work on it. So each one is sort of like a mini lecture and we have a little bit of back and forth. People talk about their bright spots from the week. They talk at the end, every session ends with them stating their goals for the week. And then we email back and forth about it. So I'm really loving that. Cause it lets me connect with people from like, I have people from California who've done it, people from Florida, people from Vancouver. So it's kind of fun. It gets me out of my like Toronto comfort box and it's everyone from around. So it's nice.
Oh, that's super cool. What's it called?
Yeah. It is called Kick Your Ass with Compassion, 5 weeks to a fitter future you.
Oh, cool.
It's fun. I quite like it. But I don't know, immediately what's next is just navigating the crazy that is lockdown and figuring out every moment how to be slightly happier and not go down the rabbit hole of overwhelm, I think is probably what's in the immediate next step.
Yeah, I know. It's just navigating day by day. I was super excited today because I do Qigong. And I was like doing my Qigong this morning. I was like, you know, I should go and try to do my Zumba again because I used to teach Zumba. And so I found my old iPod. I put on the headphones and I just started like rocking out to Zumba. And
sounds awesome.
Like it was just like something I haven't done probably in, oh gosh, a long time, probably at least 6-7 years. And it just made me light up. So I think that this is such a good time for introspection and trying to figure out what's next and where does spirit guide you, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Well, we have the time and I don't know. It's about making lemonade out of the lemons. Like, you know, as I said, we're always at that crossroad. And are you going to lean into the sort of suck of feeling shitty? Or are you going to like sort of create the moments now that'll create the fittest future you that you can be? And I'm not arguing that it's easy. Like, listen, it's not even day by day. It's like second by second, you know? And I think I don't know if you know Brené Brown, but I love her work. And she has a podcast. And I listened to her podcast. It really helped me. She did one on, it's what she calls the FFTs. So I don't know if you're allowed, I'm allowed to swear. So forking first times is the what it is. And basically just so she says that every time you do anything new, it's hard. And then she sort of says, and I don't know about all you guys, but like, I've never done a global pandemic. So allow yourself to feel like this is all hard, you know, like just normalize that it's hard.
What's the book called?
Her name is Brené Brown. If you just look up her name, I think it's like Unlocking Something with Brené Brown. She has maybe 3 episodes out. Like, it's new.
Okay.
And the first one is called FFT. So, and it's just all about like the new things in her life that she's trying. One of them being the pandemic, but also the podcast being one. And the premise of the episode is just like, we are all human and we have to normalize that when you do something for the first time, it's going to be hard. And that's not a reason to stop. It's just a reason to like be compassionate with yourself and keep going. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, and know that you're only human. Like we're not robots. And yeah. The pro and con of being human is that we got lots of emotions. You know, it's a benefit, but it's also hard.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. So Kathleen, how can people find you?
My website is KathleenTrotter.com, and I'm on all the socials, Fit by Kathleen T. And and reach out. I always love to hear from people and, you know, anybody's stories and journeys. I love to hear those. So, you know, send me an email.
Awesome. And so you're on Facebook. What other social handles are you on? Instagram?
So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything except for TikTok. I have not managed to figure that one out yet. You can find me on LinkedIn, and although that's not as I'm mostly present on, I would say Facebook and Instagram are the two biggest ones, and my website. Honestly, it's a really good resource. I do a bunch of book reviews. They're all up on there. I have this thing called Pocket of Joy, so little things that make me happy, I post on there. All my articles, all that kind of stuff. You can buy my book through there, or you can buy the book through Amazon. The website's a really good resource for inspiration.
Cool. Well, I'm going to have to go check that out. So, well, awesome. Thank you. You are so adorable. It was such a pleasure to chat with you today, Kathleen.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You're awesome.
Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Have a great rest of your day.
You too, sweetie, and be safe out there.
I'll try. You too.
Oh, that was so fun. I felt like I was just talking to my sister. She pretty much speaks the same language. Super fun. So if you like the show, please share it with a friend and head on over to iTunes. Leave us a rating and review. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. For the show notes, please head on over to highenergygirl.com/show. And she will be having a fun little contest. So out of all the listeners who make a comment on the Facebook post, she's going to send one of you lucky listeners a free book. So make sure that you check it out. Go out, make it a great day, and be safe out there. This podcast contains the opinion and thoughts of its host and guests. It is intended to provide helpful and informative material on the subjects covered. All statements made on the podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. If the listener requires professional assistance or advice, please contact your personal medical doctor. Both host and guest specifically disclaim any responsibility for any liability, loss, or risk, personal or otherwise, which is incurred as a consequence directly or indirectly of the use and application of any of the contents of these episodes. Like I said, this is my opinion, and I could be wrong.